Alrighty, how we doing? Fourth and final hour of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up at 9:40 p.m. Eastern, 6:40 p.m. Pacific, Dwight Freeney, the Colts and NFL legend, will join us. And the Colts are front and center. The Colts usually are in front and center. Hot take, Hickey. But it usually appears whenever they are front and center, it's for something that's not good. Now, when you had Peyton Manning there, they were always in the news. When Andrew Luck first got there, always in the news. But ever since Andrew Luck left that preseason game and elected to retire after that, has there been any positive moments with this organization? Because I look back, this team has failed, right? They had that embarrassment where Jaguars fans are showing up as clowns to clown their own front office, and the Colts lost that game. So you go through it, 9 times out of 10, and maybe it's just slipping my mind of any positive moments, this team has just been really only in the news when they don't meet expectations. They hire Jeff Saturday off the set of ESPN to coach the team, or the owner is adding more fuel to the fire in a contract negotiation that's not even happening between his star running back and the agent of the star running back. Like even at the draft, they draft Anthony Richardson. I don't say anything negative about the Colts, and then Jim fires up Twitter, now called X, which we'll still call it Twitter. Maybe that should be a sign, an X for Jim. Hey, don't tweet out something stupid. But remember that at the draft where he's talking about, oh, maybe we'll draft a quarterback in the second round too, and we'll try to have Montana and Young. Oh, my goodness gracious. The Colts are a mess. Has there been a positive moment, like a national positive moment for the Colts since you did have Andrew Luck leave that organization?
Three positive moments since 2019.
Now, timeout. This is coming from Hot Take Hickey, who makes the Colts a bigger deal than they actually are. So I will be the judge if these are actually positive moments on a national scale.
I think you would agree with all three.
Okay.
Number one, yeah, it's 2019. Number one, 2020. They beat Aaron Rodgers. Phillip Rivers beat Aaron Rodgers in Lucas Oil Stadium. It was like a 4 o'clock game, big game, national stage. They won that game. Now,
that wasn't a playoff game, though.
No, but they won the game. That was a big game. They beat the Packers. Go on. You are asking
No one remembers that.
About a team that has not won a playoff game since 2019. I'm trying to give you some. That was a one game in November where I was riding high with Phillip Rivers and feeling good. So that's one positive moment. They beat Aaron Rodgers and the Packers in 2019.
Survey says, we'll do a little tribute here to Elon Musk.
Come on.
Don't give that to you.
That was
please.
In November, too. It wasn't like it was September 3rd. Okay, moment two.
I know one that I could actually remember.
2022, Christmas Day. They had literally no offensive linemen. COVID ravaged. They went in there and beat the Cardinals. Ran the ball well. Offensive line held up. It was the last one of the season, so it was literally the last positive moment before the season came crashing down.
Wasn't that 2021?
Because of Carson Wentz. 2022. No, you're right. 2021. Sorry. I got my years all mixed up.
Yeah, they got some...
2021, Carson Wentz, Cardinals, Christmas Day, no offensive line.
Now, what happened after that, by the way?
Terrible. That was the highlight of the season.
Yeah, it was.
I probably guaranteed they're going to the playoffs. They didn't win a game.
Okay, I'll give you a ding for that, a check. Now, there's this last one we have to... It has to be the obvious one, but go ahead.
They lost. Now, they sure lost every game. They went 1-8 or 1-7, whatever it was with Jeff Saturday, and they tanked the end of the season. That was the right move. The draft.
No.
The draft position was more important. Once they fired, really, once they lost to the Titans in week 7, it was over from there. But they focused on getting a quarterback, and Jeff Saturday, after accidentally beating the Raiders, lost every game after that. Right move. That was a positive.
Wait, now hold on. Maybe I'm misremembering this. The proudest moment you've had in recent memory, didn't you guys beat Kansas City last year?
Yeah, they did beat the Chiefs, week 3.
That's the ultimate one. That was the preeminent one, if you ask
me. I guess.
You beat them.
Should have been not as short-lived because then, I guess the other memories I have were short-lived as well.
You gave me the offensive line game. Don't get me wrong, good game.
To be honest, I forgot to beat the Chiefs for a second.
Which is funny because a few weeks ago you were like, I'm just saying, the Colts beat the Chiefs last year.
Aggregate, they Chiefs and Eagles, two teams in the Super Bowl. Aggregate score, the Colts outscored both. So you tell me who's a bad team.
You lost to the Eagles.
Yeah, by 1 point. Oh, and they beat the Chiefs by 3.
Give me a break.
Aggregate, Colts up by 2.
You are such a loser.
That also shows you, by the way, how stupid the NFL is. That makes no sense in the world. But it happened. Makes no sense.
Okay. So that's what you're giving me there.
So those are 3 plus a bonus one from you, 4 positive moments. All, by the way, short-lived for the most part.
Yeah.
For the Colts since 2019 when Andrew Luck retired around this time.
So here's what I'm getting at. Hickey is the biggest Colts fan that I know. He's crazy when it comes to the love of his football team and how many times he gives them the benefit of the doubt. I just asked him to come up with some big Colts moments, and the average person listening probably doesn't remember most of those moments. They're like, oh, who cares? It's really no big deal, those moments that he just said. And there's not a lot of moments to pick from, and Hickey still gave you some moments where you're like, maybe I'll give you one or two. And that's the guy that watches each and every Colts game and didn't even remember the biggest one of them all. The point is, the Colts are a disaster. The Colts are a dysfunctional, hot mess, and that organization right now is garbage. That's what the Indianapolis Colts are. And Jim Irsay, whether what he's saying, if you view it right or wrong, it doesn't need to be said. Jonathan Taylor already requested the contract. You haven't had contract extension talks with Jonathan Taylor. So why would you take a shot at the running back market, and why would you add more fuel to the fire when the goal should be to make sure that Jonathan Taylor wants to go play for your football team this year? And that's where Jim Irsay loses me. I don't think Jonathan Taylor is going to get a new deal done by the start of the season. I don't think Jonathan Taylor is going to be happy with the Colts. And Jonathan Taylor may want $16 million. I don't think he's getting $16 million. But it doesn't mean that Jim Irsay should just run his mouth and add more drama to the situation when you have a new coach and a new quarterback. It's so unnecessary what Jim Irsay is doing. And I'm not saying by not paying the guy, but just running his mouth and making him the center of attention and just causing more dysfunction and more drama for an organization that does not need more dysfunction and more drama. And I just do not get what this guy is trying to accomplish in the owner of your football team, Hot Take Hickey, in the Indianapolis Colts.
Especially timing-wise, where since Andrew Luck retired, obviously the hyper-focus for every single Colts fan in the organization and out of it has been getting a franchise quarterback and replacing Andrew Luck. They have failed and they have not drafted up until this past year. They finally draft a quarterback. And now you would think, okay, you got Anthony Richardson at number 4. Now every single move you make for this team has to be in the eye of how can this make Anthony Richardson better? How can we help develop this project from Florida into hopefully the next Andrew Luck kind of guy that can be our franchise quarterback? And so far, Jim Irsay has looked at the best player on offense, Jonathan Taylor, the most accomplished player on offense, a guy who is going to make Anthony Richardson's life easier in year one especially, and is shuttering him, looking at him with disgust. Like, why would I pay you? Why would I keep you around? And Jim is doing the opposite of what he should be doing and making his quarterback's life easy. Instead, is just right now pouring gasoline on a fire that's burning and distracting from what, again, should be all about Anthony Richardson and his development, and now it's just a complete sideshow and an embarrassment, and you're disgruntling, bare minimum. Like, best case scenario right now, Zach, best case scenario is Jonathan Taylor is pissed off on the field week one.
If I'm Jonathan Taylor, and I don't think he's going to get anywhere close to what he wants from the Indianapolis Colts, or maybe from any team in the NFL, but just based off of principle, with what this owner has done, not even having contract extension talks, and then, as we've both said, adding more fuel to the fire, I'm playing this year. Maybe miss a few games, back hurts, leg hurts, arm hurts, whatever, but not a good amount of games because you still want to show your worth this year. Next year, they slap the franchise tag on me, and then after that, maybe they slap the tag on you again, but you tell them you're not re-signing with them, and then they trade you, right, in the 11th hour or something like that, I'm not re-signing with this organization. Because if I'm him, the owner has annoyed me that much. And Hickey, not that running backs are all that in the year of 2023, and it's more by committee. You look at the Giants situation, it's similar, where the Giants believe in their quarterback in Daniel Jones, and a lot of people don't. The Colts clearly believe in Anthony Richardson. A lot of people don't. Those two guys in the systems that Brian Daboll and Shane Steichen run, they need their star running back to be a star running back. Not like the case with a lot of teams. But the Giants were humming last year with not a lot of talent when Saquon was on the field healthy. And the Colts don't have a lot of talent around Anthony Richardson. In the interim, for the growth and the development of Anthony Richardson, they can't afford to lose Jonathan Taylor.
Especially, they're not paying a lot of guys. They have $20 million in cap space. If you want to argue that even if JT in 3 years is a shell of himself, you're really not wasting a lot of money because you're not paying a lot of guys. You got a quarterback on a rookie deal. You don't have a number one wide receiver that's getting $30 million. Who else are you going to pay?
But you could also give him a five-year deal and dress it up where it's easy out after 3 years. So you don't hamstring yourself to that deal if he does start to decline.
And I think he would take it. Like, at the end of the day, like, I think money will buy happiness. So even if I get this has been ugly, but if the Colts somehow come to the table this year or next year with a contract offer, I still think he's going to take it. I don't think that relationship is beyond repair where he's going to turn down the best offer he gets. But he's not in the position to do that.
But he's not on the open market where they have not given him an opportunity to talk to other teams to see what he could get from other teams. The Colts are the only one that have an opportunity to make him an offer right now. They're not even making him an offer.
The market tells you, though. I don't know what the Colts are going to offer. Maybe they will never even come close to what he wants. But if you're the Colts, you would feel good, at least if he gets to the open market, no team's going to blow him away. Because that's not been how it's worked.
And also, at bare minimum, we're talking 2 years from now. Probably.
Yeah, that's how it should work.
Because he's going to get tagged next year. There's no doubt about that.
No way in which you can't tag him.
Now, let me ask you this. Even though with everything I just said about the Colts and how Anthony Richardson, it's important to have Jonathan Taylor there in the early development. You want to have some pieces around him. If you're Jim Irsay and you think for a second that this relationship is fractured beyond repair, and I don't know how far Jonathan Taylor is willing to take it this year. Most of the times, even ask Le'Veon Bell, what Le'Veon Bell did, I know he eventually got paid, but he missed out on money that he was never going to be able to get back. And I thought Le'Veon Bell, who even will admit it, says he regrets what did transpire. If you are, though, Chris Ballard, well, no, it's not even really Chris Ballard's decision, it's more Jim Irsay's decision. If Jim says, I'm not going to pay this guy, or I don't believe this guy will ever sign with us, with how this team does not have a lot, do you try to trade him and just see? Take some calls and see what you could get back and say, let him go somewhere else. We're probably never going to be a winner with this guy anyway. And try to get future pieces of help for Anthony Richardson by dumping off a pretty big asset in Jonathan Taylor.
Unless a team blows you away with a first-round pick, which is not going to happen, or a second-round pick, which is not going to happen, no, I would not trade him.
It was your team, though, that did trade a first-round pick for a running back, Trent Richardson,
right? A decade ago. Yes, they did. It blew up in their face, to say the least.
Okay, but let me ask you this.
Thankfully, different time.
What happens, let's say Taylor shows up, the Colts stink, but Jonathan Taylor's playing well, and you get to like week four, week five, it's a really strong start to the season, first few games, and there's a team out there that's going for a Super Bowl, and they think he could be the missing piece. And they go, you know what? Screw it. We'll give you a conditional two that could turn into a one with certain parameters. Would you entertain that?
Sure, absolutely. That's not going to come, but absolutely. If that's,
you don't think you get a conditional two that could turn into a one?
Not in this
for a team that's going for a Super Bowl.
No way. Yeah, because you got to trade for him and pay him.
But if it's just that straight up, like, well, last year, I know it wasn't a first round pick, but there were a lot of picks attached to Carolina in return for Christian McCaffrey.
2, 3, 4, and a future fifth.
If they just say a two, that's it, but it could turn into a one if, let's say, we make the AFC Championship game. Would you do that?
Oh, yeah.
You would. So just for a conditional two, where it could only be a two.
Oh, yeah. Because I don't. I would be shocked if it's anything better than a four.
Oh, you. I understand.
You got to trade for him, and you got to pay him. Christian McCaffrey got a lot, but he's also a different style of running back. He catches the ball out
of
backfield.
And was under contract.
Way more than Jonathan Taylor. And you're not going to fight with his agent about a contract. He already had one. Even though he was the highest paid running back in the NFL, that part was taken care of. You got to trade for Jonathan Taylor. Make sure he's healthy, by the way. He's on PUP with a back injury,
but
ankle
you don't even
injury.
Believe.
I don't, but I'm saying if you're a team, you're going to take the risk and then trade for him, pay him, and then hope he's healthy. I just think at this, even if he just plays 2023, and the Colts say for whatever reason, it'd be stupid if they go for it. They say, you know what, we're not going to franchise tag it. You're pissed at us. Go to the open market. See you later. He only plays for this year. I would not trade him.
I would potentially give up a conditional two. Well, it doesn't even seem like I need to give up a conditional two. I can just give you an outright two, and you would take it. Based on what you said, if I'm a team that has Super Bowl aspirations. Oh, I think there would be at least one team out there if they have Super Bowl aspirations, but they could also slap the tag on him the next year that would say, I'll sacrifice a second-round pick. I think there's one GM that would go less need and just say bleep those picks if they believe he's the missing piece to the puzzle when he's still on a manageable deal for now, go to the final year of his deal where you have the ability to franchise tag him. And if that's all it takes, maybe Jonathan Taylor won't be on the Colts throughout the entirety of this upcoming season. Ultimately, I still do think he is there, but that's something that the Colts should start thinking about, at least seeing what the price would be. But the owner didn't help himself, Hickey, because if you're trying to trade him, the guy is even unhappier than we were led on to believe because we didn't even know that he requested a trade. And the owner was already tweeting out stupid things. That's what's also frustrating if I'm you.
But Jim said, we're not trading them. Not now, not in October.
He did say that, too.
That is the truth. Take that, GMs.
And with Daniel Snyder now out of the league, thanks to Jim Irsay, basically being the PR spokesperson for the owners, I don't usually would I would not 100% agree that just because Jim Irsay says someone is not going to get traded, that definitely means that player is not going to get traded.
I was being a little facetious.
I know.
Okay. Just some people take me at my word literally all the time. Yes, just because Jim says that, I'm sure in a month or so, if he's traded, we will hear that soundbite or I guess see that I think it was a text message. We'll see that text message revealed or resurfaced a little bit.
Yeah. There was like an offseason where the Seahawks and the Rams were like saying, yeah, this player would definitely be on the roster. And then it was the next day that the player was traded. You'll hear a brand new Hickey Hex next.
Are you the creative type? And you already know lots of cool things Photoshop can do, like create eye-popping images for social and gorgeous graphics for t-shirts and posters. But did you also know it can instantly turn a gray sky into a fiery sunset, change black and white to color in a click, or make anything in your photo magically disappear? Maybe you're wondering, can anyone use Photoshop to take images from ordinary to amazing? Nope, everyone can. Visit Photoshop.com and get started for free.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
You can think of Riley Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So, Hickster, you know how on Facebook you get these notifications? Hey, you've been friends with this person for that many years, and you go, why are they notifying me that? I have, like, no pictures or a few amount of posts with that person. I go, that's kind of bizarre that they end up posting that. So, a lot of times you don't really pay attention to those, but today I got a notification. It's 5 years of friendship on Facebook with you, Ryan Hickey. And they put a nice amount of photos together. Me gifting you pasta and a Russell Wilson's jersey. You dressed up as The Rock. I'm dressed up on Halloween as Mike the Situation with a neck brace on. Then there's a photo on CBS Sports Network. Put together a birthday sign for me. You have a really weird tan line where your legs are really tan, but when your salmon shorts were a little bit high up, your legs are very white, so that's a little bit weird. Remember when our buddy, Jim Selania, made us the paver, and we have the Zach Gelb Show gold paver? That's a nice photo. And then there's a photo of me giving you a noogie over at the NFL draft. Where was this? This was in Las Vegas, where it looks like I'm beating you up. So we have a little anniversary to celebrate. 5 years of friendship, officially, on Facebook. Hot take, Iggy.
Thanks. I really appreciated the tweet that went along with the picture
to
celebrate our 5-year anniversary.
Oh,
quote,
yeah.
Nice of Jonathan Taylor to get us an anniversary present.
You're not wrong on that. And you know what? Since it's our anniversary, let's celebrate it. 5 years of friendship on Facebook with a little Hickey Hex.
It's the Hickey Hex.
You think a deal's getting done by week one?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Oh, I can lock it up that a deal's not getting done by week one.
He'll
now.
Get paid. Jim Mersey is no...
By week one.
By week one, absolutely. He's getting paid. No doubt about
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
100%. You'll see.
Folks,
you'll
week
see.
One's going to come, and he ain't going to get that contract extension.
He'll get the contract, he'll be on the field, and he'll be happy.
Okay. Because this is pretty bad when you have the agent and the owner going at it for all of us to see. You know what you are right now? You're the dog with the gif of the fire all around him and the dog sitting at the table with the cup of coffee saying, everything's fine. Nothing to see here.
It's fine because I think this is going to happen. So I have no reason to freak out or panic because I've been talking about it for a while now. He'll get paid by week one. I have no reason to change my thinking. If anything, I mean, this is only going to strengthen it.
NFL reporter Stephen Holder, he's back with us, and he's been all over this story. Stephen, what's next in this sort of terse situation between Jonathan Taylor and the Colts?
If they're not going to offer him an extension, and every indication so far demonstrates that they are not. And so if that's not going to happen, then what you have is a very disenchanted player. It really does beg the question, is a separation in the cards? But you can go back to the middle of June when Jonathan Taylor was asked about his situation. He spoke about the running back landscape in general, and he said, I quote, you see why guys start to demand trades.
If I die tonight and Jonathan Taylor's out of the league, no one's going to miss us. The league goes on. I mean,
hot take Hickey strikes again.
So there we go. A happy friendship anniversary for Hot Take Hickey and yours truly celebrating 5 years of Facebook friendship. And we appreciate Jim Irsay for continuing to be a dysfunctional, rich mess and giving us content. And now in the studio, just to celebrate our anniversary, is a man that used to work with me on the weekend overnights and sometimes fills in on our show on CBS Sports Radio wearing a green Jet 73 jersey for his guy and Temple alum in Joe Klecko, who's going into the Hall of Fame this week, Peter Schwartz.
Good to see you, Zach.
Great to see you, too. Where'd you get that Klecko gangrene jersey?
This was a nice gift from Boomer Esiason.
Ah, look at you.
Well, I was in...
Rubbing elbows with the booms.
Well, always. Yeah, so I was in last week here on the network in the morning, and they had a hat for me because the Jets unveiled their throwback uniforms.
Nice.
So they called me in to give me the hat. And then Boomer, Jets gave Boomer a jersey. So I threw the jersey on, but Boomer wouldn't let me have it. He's going to auction it off. I didn't expect it.
Okay.
I didn't think it fit. And I don't look good in a single-digit number. So then they asked me.
Because you're a large fella.
Right. Yeah. I need a double-digit number. Mm-hmm. So they, are you going to Canton? I'm like, of course, see Klecko get him. Like, we have tickets for the induction, but we don't have tickets for the Hall of Fame game.
Ah, so trying to beg, hey, Boomer, wink.
I literally was
make
not intending to do that because we were going to wait until like an hour before the game to just get him online. And Boomer, half an hour later, said, yeah, four tickets.
So you got four tickets right. And a jersey from Boomer.
And then later on, he said, do you want a Klecko jersey in your size? And I said, sure. And then yesterday, Gio texted me and said, there's a jersey in my office for you.
Now, I got to take a break in about like 45 seconds. That jersey looks like it could be a size up.
Maybe.
So should we blast Boomer for not getting you the right size?
No, I don't look a gift horse in the mouth. You know what? It's, it's you know, inspiration to lose a few pounds, maybe.
But what is that, a 2X?
It's a 2X.
Okay.
I generally wear a 4.
Well, I think you could fit into a 3.
I think the 3 would work.
So enjoy it.
Let's see. Right.
So you're going to the Hall of Fame game with your family.
Yes, and the induction.
How long's that drive?
7.5 hours.
Oh, that's a lot for a Hall of Fame induction
ceremony. If it was just Revis, I wouldn't be going.
With your wife and kids in the car?
Oh, they'll be calm.
Get some headphones. I get some headphones. Got to tune everyone out in the car.
No, they have their headphones on. They'll be tuned out.
Okay. Oh, you're looking good in that jersey, and enjoy it this weekend. And make sure you give a hootie hoot. Let's go Owls for Joe Klecko.
Absolutely. He wore 72. We were just talking about
that. Yeah, when Wayne Harden was his coach. A tremendous story. Always love it. I get a chance to talk to Joe Klecko. And congratulations to the Klecko family and also Joe's son, Dan, who played in the NFL and won a few Super Bowls. I'll take a break here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Jim Irsay has promised his fans in the next in this decade 2 Super Bowls. We all know that's not going to happen. How about a new contract for Jonathan Taylor. Looks like that's not going to happen as well. Jonathan Taylor has requested a trade. No contract extension talks yet. So we'll get the lay of the Colt land with a Colts legend, a man that should be in the Hall of Fame, and will one day, the great Dwight Freeney.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. The NFL season is inching closer and closer. Who are the contenders and who are the pretenders? We have four downs to figure out your team's future. It's time now for First and Goal on the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, a lot's going on in the world of the Indianapolis Colts, so let's preview their season right now with the man that should be going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame very soon. Unfortunately, the writer screwed him for this upcoming class, but we'll see if he gets it next year. And that's the legendary Dwight Freeney. Dwight, always appreciate the time. How you been?
Been good. What about yourself?
Well, I'm doing okay. My producer, though, Hot Take Hickey, he's a Colts fan, so he's doing miserable after all that did transpire in the last week. Jonathan Taylor wants a trade. The Colts aren't even talking contract extension with him. And then Jim Irsay keeps on tweeting all these crazy things. How do you react to all that's transpired in the last week?
I mean, you know what? It is crazy. I will say, I just don't really understand what Jonathan and his agent is really thinking, you know, with this market. You know, if this was early 2000s, let's call it, or 90s or something like that, you have a lot of leverage as a running back. You know, but because of the NFL and how things are right now, it's such a pass-heavy type of league, and you see what's going on with the running backs where they're not getting, quote-unquote, their value of what they think they are. You go into that type of market demanding a trade after you just came off an injury. I don't know. I don't know what he's thinking. Maybe there's something that I don't know that's happening internally. Maybe he has a rift with somebody or something. I don't know. Scheme-wise, I don't know. But if I was him, this would be a perfect place for me to stay. You know, when the market is kind of in flux and you don't know, stay home. Stay where people know you and people love you. All right, especially with this new system that they're going to be putting in, all these RPOs, it's going to be a run-heavy offense. You have an opportunity to put a big, big numbers. This is where you need to be. I don't know where you think you're going to go. I don't know.
The only thing that I will say to defend Jonathan Taylor, and I understand what you're saying with the state of the position, is he is on the final year of his deal. If the Colts aren't even willing to talk contract extension with him right now, according to the reports and people close to Jim Irsay, it's like, what else are you supposed to do?
I mean, look, everybody, you know, not everybody, but a lot of guys play out their contracts. A lot of guys. I had to play out my contract. Other guys had to play out their contract. Unless you're a quarterback or something like that, you know, you can go banging on the door and say, hey, I want to renegotiate. Jonathan, awesome talent. But he didn't come off a great year last year. He had a bad ankle injury and he had to get surgery. You're not in a position of leverage to negotiate and ask for an extension coming off an injury. It just normally doesn't happen, especially at that position where you know you can get hurt tomorrow. And I get it. Maybe from his side, maybe he's thinking that way. You know, I think, you know, maybe from a strategy standpoint, you go out there and roll the dice, Jonathan, and say, hey, you know what, I want to get an extension and I'll hold out until I get it or something like that. And you want to hold out throughout camp until you get it, until the last day, and say, ah, you know what, I was just joking. You know, I'm coming out and I'm doing what I normally do. But to demand a trade, I think, is extreme. And that it really creates a foul taste and sense throughout the organization.
I get it that it's a business, Dwight Freeney, but when you have the owner saying, hey, if he dies tomorrow or if Jonathan Taylor is out of the league tomorrow, the NFL rolls on, he's not wrong with that, but as a player, you can't be happy to hearing that from an owner, right?
Yeah, I mean, the truth is you don't want to hear it, but the truth is he's 100% right. he's not wrong when he said that. Do I wish he didn't say it? Sure. You know, there's better ways to communicate and sugarcoat or whatever you want to call, you know, laying somebody down gently, not slamming the door in somebody's face. So, yes, from Jim's perspective and, you know, and the owner, you know, this is his team. He can do what he wants. But, you know, if I were him, I would have been, you know, handling it with care just a little bit more because of the talent that he does have in his room or in the building. You know, you don't want to kind of piss him off. But then again, this is not the 90s and this is not 2001. You know, what? They'll be okay without Jonathan. They would be a lot better with him.
Do you think since where we are right now, where they're not talking contract extension, he wants a trade, just because a player wants a trade doesn't mean he got traded, and Jim Irsay made that clear, he's not trading him now or a few weeks into the season when the trade deadline rolls around. If you were running the team, would you just say, hey, Colts are a few years away, let's just move on from now and get back what we can for him?
Well, if he came off the 1,800-yard season, maybe, you know, and maybe if the market, you know, was really high for running backs, maybe. But what are you going to get for him right now? And I don't know. You know, it's just the market isn't high for running backs. And you know what? If he wants to sit for a year, then, hey, maybe you sit for a year and then you can figure it out after that. I know Jonathan doesn't want to do that. I don't think anybody wants him to do that. I sure don't. The organization sure doesn't. But the wheels are rolling. This truck is moving with or without you. And, you know, I get it. You know, you want to demand a trade, but this isn't basketball. You know, you see more of that stuff in basketball. But you have guys demanding trades, and you're going to get that trade happen. You know, it's just football. It just kind of operates a lot differently, especially in training camp. I don't know any guy. You could maybe fill me in. I don't know any guy that demanded a trade in training camp and got it.
And we'll see if it's going to happen in the NFL. Let's get to the next down. Dwight Freeney here with us. Anthony Richardson, you talk about the other pieces, no piece bigger than Anthony Richardson just because of the state of the league that we're in right now with the quarterback position. What do you expect out of him in year one?
You know what? I think he might be okay. Now, you know, as a first-year quarterback, you're going to have to be protected pretty well, all right? You know, you have to, from a scheme standpoint, you got to make sure that scheme is in there to where as though it doesn't expose you from a passing standpoint, because usually throwing the rock and passing, you know, defense can get really creative and give you different looks and shells. And for you to recognize that, you have to have some experience. All right. You got to have some to play at that top level. All right. And if you don't have that experience, then your system that you're in has to cover that up or give you the best opportunity to succeed. Now, what his best opportunity to succeed is his legs. And that's why you have that RPO type of system where he can use his best attribute and use it as a weapon and not necessarily have to worry about so many coverages and different looks like a pocket, traditional pocket passer would. So I think looking at all that, I think he does well. You know, I don't know what the expectations for a rookie is anymore, but, you know, I think, you know how they protected Russell Wilson in Seattle his first year? You know, he wasn't throwing 30 times a game. You know, he was throwing maybe 20, 18 to 20, you know, and making the right decisions. You know, maybe it's one of those types of things, but the thing is, the X factor is his legs. You never know.
I understand everything you just said when it comes to the running back position with who they have on the roster for now and then how you're going to have to run the ball a lot with the quarterback and Anthony Richardson. I'll even throw out the Ravens. For a while up until this year, we've questioned their wide receivers and if they do have enough. But you look at this receiving room for the Colts. Do you think they have enough to put Richardson in somewhere of a year at the end of the season where you go, okay, I was satisfied with that?
Well, once again, it just depends on what their game plan is. If their game plan is to throw the ball 30 to 40 times a game, absolutely not. You're putting too much on this receiving core. You're putting too much on him. You know, I think if you're asking, you know, your running game to run the ball 30, 35 times, you know, and kind of play bully ball in a way, I think you have an opportunity to having a good year. Okay. Now, it's just based on what someone would consider a good year for him. You know, more touchdowns and interceptions, I think for sure he'll have that. You know, with the rushing touchdowns as well. Combination. Does he have more than 10 picks? You know, if he has maybe 14 picks, maybe it's a bad year. You know, I don't know. I don't think they're going to be throwing the ball that often for him to really be exposed that way.
Let's get to the next down. Dwight Freeney here with us. I think you had some crossover with the Chargers with Shane Steichen. What was your thoughts about the move by the Colts to hire Steichen?
No, I like it. You know, he's had success with these young quarterbacks. You know, and obviously what you see with the Chargers and in Philly. And now here with Anthony, you know, he knows how to use their mobility as a strength, you know, and as you saw in Philly. So I think if they kind of mimic that type of game plan, I think he has an opportunity to be better as a head coach, knowing he has a guy that can use his legs and make people miss. And more importantly, when a play breaks down, you know, people kind of don't look at that as a big thing. There's many times where, you know, that offensive line may get exposed. As you saw last year, you know, you got Matt Ryan in the pocket, and, you know, he didn't have a chance half the time because the rush on the other side was getting there so fast. And Matty is not a mobile guy. So he couldn't make anybody miss. So basically, you just beat your offensive tackle or guard or what have you, it's an automatic sack, cause fumble potentially. When you have somebody like Anthony back there, not so fast. He can make plays with his legs. So as bad as the offense will be or might be or whatever you want to look at it because he's a first-year guy, it's a little bit different because he has feet, legs, that mobility, the opportunity to make a guy miss, that is an X factor that you don't know what's going to happen each and every play when a play breaks down.
And let's get to the final down. Dwight Freeney here with us on the defensive side of the ball, because I know that's your bread and butter. Shaq Leonard has had a really good career so far, but last season did not have his best season because he was barely on the field. Are you expecting a big bounce back season from him?
Yeah, I hope so. I definitely hope so. I know his mind's in it. And sometimes when you have injuries compounded on injuries, you know, it kind of takes away, you know, your sting a little bit because you're worried about getting hurt again. Hopefully he's feeling as good as he needs to where as though Shaq can be Shaq and go out there and make plays and be the most dominant guy on defense, causing all types of turnovers left and right like he did the year before. You know, I'm a big fan of him and how he plays the game. You know, and he plays it like you're supposed to play it, 100 miles per hour, reckless abandon, you know, and he's a big-time leader for that defense. So hopefully he's healthy enough to where as though he can be that guy and not be a shadow of himself, you know. So I'm really rooting on Shaq this year. I hope he plays great.
And, Dwight, last thing I'll ask you, I know I started you off talking about the Hall of Fame and how you should be in, and you had your first year of eligibility. That class goes in this weekend. Is it a little bittersweet for you? Because you know you want to be in, but you just haven't got the call of the Hall yet.
Yeah, you know, it's something that you just have to deal with. You know, you don't have any control over this stuff, you know. And so when you put your body of work out there, and you feel like, you know, you should have been first ballot and you weren't. Yeah, of course it stings. But like I said, there's a lot of great players who weren't first ballot and are in, and you just have to deal with it. You know, there's nothing you can do. Unfortunately, it's not under your control. So, you know, you try not to get your hopes up, you know. And last year I tried my hardest not to get my hopes up just because – things happen, and Of course, I was a finalist. Then, no, here you go. You get your hopes up. People keep talking in. Bruce Smith is talking to me. Michael Strahan, you're a shoo-in. You're a shoo-in. You're gonna get, you're golden. And it doesn't happen. It's just like, oh, good Lord, what has happened here? So this year is going to be the same thing. I'm going to try to put, you know, my tunnel vision on. Try not to worry about it. It's not under my control. Whatever happens is going to happen, and that's that.
Dwight, always appreciate the time. We're hoping that call does come this year. Thanks so much for doing this today.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Take care.
There he is, the Colts legend in Dwight Freeney joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And how about that perspective? Going more a little bit at the side of Jonathan Taylor and his agent, questioning what they are doing when most, including myself, aren't disagreeing with the actual content in what Jim Irsay is saying, but I keep on wondering, why is Jim actually saying those things? I don't really see the point to just add this to be more of a messy situation and dump more salt on the wound of one Jonathan Taylor. But anyway, that's all the time we have today on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Big thanks to each and every one of you for calling, listening, and tweeting the show. You can always follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram. I guess we still call it Twitter these days, or X, whatever it is, at Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Also, big thanks to Salman Wilcots for joining us and my producer extraordinaire, Hot Take Hickey. We'll be back tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific, right here on CBS Sports Radio across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and the free Odyssey app. Have a great night, JR, coming up next. We out. Bye-bye. Peace!